Philip his message. The miracles of Moses did not convince every member of his audience to believe his message. Moses parted the Red Sea. If you look at the scriptures, Moses parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. He parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, for them to walk on the dry ground in the midst of the sea. He parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked in the midst of the sea, on the dry ground, in the bed of the sea, and they walked through. That was a great miracle. That was a great miracle. The children of Israel saw that, and they were beneficiaries of that miracle. They were in bondage. Now they were delivered from bondage, and they were in the way to the, you know, to the promised land. So Moses parted the Red Sea for them to walk through. And they didn't need any boat. They didn't need ship to cross over. Moses performed a miracle and caused the Red Sea to part and create a highway for the children of Israel to walk through. They saw all that, but they didn't believe. They saw all that, but they didn't believe. Moses, like Jesus, fed the children of Israel. He fed them with manna. Moses fed the children of Israel with manna. And manna from heaven. Manna just fell like that from the skies. They gathered and ate, fully prepared. Something miraculous. Food fully prepared. Bread fully prepared, dropping from above. Every one of them saw it. They partook of it. They took manna. They ate in the wilderness. You can read that up in the book of Exodus, chapter number 16. Verse 12 to 17. Exodus 16, 12 to 17. Moses miraculously gave them water to drink from a rock. Lord Jesus, this man was a very, very powerful, great man. He did miracles. He gave them water from the rock. Something naturally that could be called impossible. But Moses made water to come out of the rock for the children of Israel to drink. They saw it, they partook of it, but they didn't believe. They saw it, they partook of it, but they didn't believe. He made water to come out of the rock. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 to 11. Miracle all over. Water came out of the rock for them to drink. Yet they didn't believe. Moses also led them. He led them in the day by pillar of cloud, in the night by pillar of what? Pillar of fire, to show them, give them light. In the day, to shed them from excessive sun, he gave them a miracle. And they were led by pillar of cloud in the day and by pillar of fire in the night. Still, they didn't believe. You can read it up from Exodus 13, 21 to 22. Exodus 13, 21 to 22. Exodus 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, verse 14. Now, this is the one I want us to read. Nehemiah chapter number 9, verse 12 to verse 17. Who is going to be our reader for today? Nehemiah chapter 9. Who is reading for us today? All right, please get the microphone. Get the microphone. Our reader for today, give him the microphone. Hallelujah. All our readers have been doing very well. Can we clap for them? Let's clap for them. They've been doing very, very well. Very good readers. Amen. And they also know how to open the scriptures. That is why you must have your own Bible. That is the paper. Until you know how to open the paper Bible, you know, effortlessly. Because, you know, it's not every time you will be using tablet or phone. The paper Bible, there is something it does to you. It makes you know exactly where each of those scriptures are. There are some people, if you ask them, go and open to the book of Joel now, they will now go to the table of content. If they don't have electronic Bible, you say open to the book of Joel, they will go to the table of content. That type of person cannot be a reader here, because by the time we wait for you to go and identify a table of content and come back to read for us, 10 minutes would have elapsed. So our readers have been good, very, very good. So to be a reader here, you must know how to open your Bible very fast. And remember, our Bible, the version we are using is King James Version. And you must read clearly and distinctly. Hallelujah. So, brother, read for us Nehemiah chapter number 9, verse 12 to 17.
Thank you so much, sir, for the privilege. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12. Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and givest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, laws, by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water from them out of the rock for their thirst, and promisest them that they should go into possess the land which thou hast sworn to them.
They should go in to possess the land. Make it very clear.
That they should go in to possess the land that thou hast sworn to them to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of their wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in the rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not.
Hallelujah. So you see, Nehemiah took time to narrate, to recall all the things, the key things that Moses did for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He reminded them of the miracles. He reminded them of, you know, the Red Sea. He reminded them how they were led by pillar of cloud in the day and by pillar of fire in the night to give them light in the night and to shed them in the day. He reminded them of all those miracles that Moses did. He reminded them of all. David also drew the attention to all this. Let's look at some of them in the book of Psalms. Let us look at some of them in the book of Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 10 to verse 18.
Psalm 78 from verse 10, it says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shewed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime, he also led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Verse 15. He cleft the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness.
Hallelujah. Psalms 106, verse 7 to verse 14.
Psalm 106 from verse 7. He said, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered the enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praises. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They are envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron and the saints of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. 20. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at Psalms 95, 7 to 11. Psalms 95, verse 7 to verse 11.
Psalms 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not thy hearts as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
Praise the Lord. So you see, from the scriptures we have read, you see that Moses did so many miracles. David in the Psalms and Nehemiah. They went through the scriptures to recall and to remind them of the various miracles that Moses did. All the signs, all the wonders that Moses did just for their own benefit. They told the children of Israel how much God loved them and how Moses did all that they did, he did so that they could be saved and so that they could be comfortable. Yet, the children of Israel did not believe. Yet, the children of Israel did not believe. So we see that Jesus was not alone. Jesus wasn't the first that encountered such unbelief, even after people had seen the miracles, signs and wonders, the healings that he did. So both Nehemiah and David described the children of Israel as hardened and disobedient. Two key words. The children of Israel were described both by Nehemiah and David as hardened and disobedient. They were described as hardened and disobedient. Their hearts were hardened and they did not believe God's word. What did they not believe? God's word. The gospel was preached to them, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe. That is why in the epistles, he said that the same gospel that was preached to us was preached unto them. But the gospel did not profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. The gospel will only profit those who mix it with faith. In other words, it will only be profitable to those who believe. Because the gospel is preached for people to believe. The gospel is preached for people to believe. That's the essence of preaching. The gospel is preached for people to believe. But we see that Moses preached, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They were hardened. They are described as a people of hardened heart. So Jesus himself also spoke of this generation that we have seen. The generation that disobeyed the word of God in the ministry of Moses. Jesus made reference to them. Look at it. Matthew chapter 19, read verse 3 to 8. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 8.
Matthew chapter 19, from verse 3, he said, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? Let's go. Verse 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Verse 9.
Praise the Lord. I didn't say go tonight. So Nehemiah and David describe those Israelites as a people whose hearts were hardened and they were disobedient. So you see what Jesus also called them. When Jesus made comments about what they did, it was when they came to Jesus and asked them, asked Jesus to grant them permission to divorce. So Jesus recalled, he went back to the things that Moses taught them. He said, Moses told us to write a letter of divorcement. But Jesus said, Moses told you to do that, not because that was the right thing to do according to the mind of God. But Moses allowed you to do that because of what? Because of your unbelief. Because of your hard heart. Because your heart was hard. So he allowed you to do that. But from the beginning, in other words, from Genesis, it was not so. It was not so. From the beginning, that is Genesis, it was not so. So Moses dealt with them because of the nature of the heart, the state of the heart. Moses dealt with them because or based on the state of the heart. So the hearts were very hard. Moses himself described them as a froward people. Described them as a people that have, a people who were called froward. Look at what Moses also called them. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20.
Deuteronomy.
In fact, read 32. Verse 15 and verse 20.
Okay. Deuteronomy 32 verse 15. And it says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat and art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. 16.
20.
20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith.
They are a froward generation, children in whom there is no faith. What does that mean? When Moses said they are children in whom there were no, was no faith, Moses was simply saying that they were faithless. Children in whom there was no faith. It means they are faithless. They are a froward generation, children in whom there is no faith. That implies that they are faithless. They do not have faith. The phrase "froward generation" implies it was a generation that was, that goes off. A generation that goes off. A froward generation is a generation that goes off. A froward generation is a generation that goes off. Thus, take note that their unbelief, their hardness of heart, their rebellion was against the gospel. They were not rebelling against Moses. They were rebelling against the gospel. Their hardness of heart, their rebellion, and their unbelief were all against the gospel. Was against the gospel of Christ, which Moses preached. Moses preached to them the gospel of Christ, but they were rebellious against that gospel. They were rebellious against that gospel. That is why they insisted they want to do divorce. I want to divorce this. My wife is causing too much trouble. Moses looked at the heart and saw that this one, even the gospel have told them from the beginning, so shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He said, I hear you, sir. But this woman is very stubborn. And then Moses said, okay, because the way your heart is, there's no amount of preaching that will change this heart because of your unbelief, because you don't believe in the gospel. You don't believe in the mind of God. You don't believe in the plan of God. Because of that, okay, go and write. Write a letter of divorcement, a bill of divorcement. The moment you write that, you can now divorce. And so when Jesus came, they confronted Jesus with that and said to Jesus, Moses told us to write a bill of divorcement. What do you say? Jesus told them, it is because of the hardness of your heart that Moses allowed you to do it. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so. So they were described as a people of unbelief, rebellious. Moses called them children in whom there is no faith. Children in whom there is no faith. Moses himself also described them as stiff-necked. Moses described them as stiff-necked. Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Deuteronomy 31. Can you read for us 26 and 27?
Deuteronomy 31 verse 26, and it says, "Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death?"
Can you see that? He said, you people are stiff-necked. That means you are fixed in your ways, in doing wrong, in resisting the gospel. You are fixed. Your neck is stiff. It's not flexible. You do not want to listen to the gospel and believe it. Because you are a people, you are rebellious and stiff-necked. But Jesus said, he suffered you because of this. Jesus called them a stiff-necked people. You were stiff-necked, rebellious, and hard-hearted. Very hard. So like Moses, Jesus, in the four Gospels, Jesus, in the four Gospels, also had a situation where he did miracles and people did not believe. He did miracles. He healed people. He did all those, but the people did not believe. The people did not believe. The gospel was preached to everyone, both in the New Testament and in the Old, but many of them didn't believe. So we see that those who believe the gospel are not those who have enjoyed miracles. In other words, a man can enjoy miracles and not believe the gospel. A man can enjoy miracle. He can partake of miracles, but not believe the gospel. As we have seen, the children of Israel, Moses rained bread from heaven and gave to them. He gave them, you know, manna. He gave them manna. He divided the Red Sea and made them to walk through it. And Moses gave them water out of the rock. They drank the water, but they still didn't believe the gospel that Moses preached. They didn't believe the gospel that Moses preached. So those who believe the gospel are not those who have enjoyed miracles. But those who believe the gospel are those who have accepted and embraced and received salvation. So those who believe are those who have embraced the gospel of Christ. Those who believe are those who have accepted the gospel of Christ. In the Old Testament, they believed the promise. They believed the promise. And so, Bible says that those who believed, they entered into his rest. But those who did not believe, they could not enter. So it takes faith to enter the promise. It takes faith to enter the promise. It takes faith to enter the promise. It's not miracles. It takes faith, not miracles, not healing, to enter the promise. A man can be healed of serious infirmity, but not enter the promise if he refuses to believe the gospel. God does not only heal those who believe. God does not only heal those who believe. In other words, he does not heal only those who believe. God does not heal only those who believe. God, in his goodness, in his graciousness, in his kindness, he heals everybody, both those who believe and those who believe not. So that a man is healed does not mean he has faith. That a man is healed does not mean he has faith. A man is healed because of the mercies of God, because of the graciousness of God. A man is healed because God is a compassionate God. God is a good God. So to enter into the rest of God, you must believe the gospel of Christ. To enter the rest of God, a man must believe the gospel of Christ. That is, he must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He must believe that Christ died for his sins, and he must believe that Christ was buried and he was raised again for his justification. So that is when to enter into the rest of God. Now, I'd like us to look at another very, in fact, the first miracle that Jesus did. Let's look at the first miracle that Jesus performed, which is recorded in the book of John, chapter 2. We will read from verse 1 to 11, brother. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Look at this other miracle. This is the first miracle as recorded by John. John says this is the first miracle that Jesus did. Go ahead and read it, brother. 1 to 11.
John 2, verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And there were set there six water bowls of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear into the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, they then which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Don't forget, that's what we are trying to establish. We are looking at all these things to establish why Jesus performed miracles. Why did he perform miracles? To what intent did Jesus perform miracles? To what intent? To what purpose? So we are looking at all these. We are just making progress towards arriving at an answer. Don't forget, Papa has taught us when answering questions from the scripture, you don't just say yes or no, because the scriptures, they will provide answers to its own questions. So we are taking a journey through the scriptures to establish why Jesus performed miracles. I hope you understand. If you understand, then shout glory.
Glory.
So we see that Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus turned water into wine as his first miracle, as recorded in the book of John chapter 2, which we have just read. Jesus turned water into wine. I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse 4. When they wanted wine, his mother went to him and said, "They have no wine." What did Jesus answer? Jesus said to her, "Woman, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come." You should underline that. My hour has not yet come. In that script, in the Old King James, he said, "My hour is not yet come." That's what Jesus answered. I want you to take note, if you study the book of John, the gospel according to St. John, John's writing will show us that Jesus made this particular statement repeatedly. My hour. He made reference in different places to his hour. My hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet come. He made the statement in different places. That is to tell you there is an emphasis on that phrase. When a particular phrase is repeated, it is an emphasis. It means it's something you should take note of as a student of the Bible. My hour is not yet come. In John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus made the same reference. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." But what did he tell his mother? "My hour is not yet come." So Jesus was speaking at a particular time. He was speaking about a particular time. "My hour is not yet come. Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come." John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. Can you say that? When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Jesus knew that his hour has come, that he should depart from this world unto the Father. Jesus knew that the hour had come when he should depart from this world unto the Father. That means there is a time that Jesus was making reference to. Look at John 17, verse 1. "This world spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. See, you see, Jesus kept repeating, hour, my hour, my hour, my hour. So what did Jesus mean by saying, my hour is not yet come? What did Jesus mean when he said, my hour is not yet come? Was he referring to the hour to do miracle? Because the mother came to him and said they have no wine. I want you to follow the narrative. The mother came to him and said, son, look, Jesus, these people have no wine because the wine has finished. They have no wine. Then Jesus looked at his mother and said, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. I want you to hold that very well. My hour is not yet come. What have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. That statement, what does it mean? What was in the intent? What was in the mind of Jesus when he said that my hour is not yet come? He was not referring to the hour to do miracle. He was not referring to time that he will turn water to wine. He was not referring to a time, okay, this is, let me say, this is noon. Let me wait until 2. My hour to turn water into wine will be 2:00. He wasn't referring to such hour. And he said to the mother, my hour is not yet come. So what was he talking about? Certainly, Jesus was making reference to his resurrection. Jesus was making reference to his resurrection and glorification. When he said, my hour is not yet come, he was making reference to his resurrection and his glorification. He was making reference to his glorification. So, remember the style of Jesus' teaching. When he gave them bread, after eating bread, he brought their focus and turned their focus away from natural bread to something spiritual. Do you understand? So look at these people. They came to Jesus. The mother came to him and said, they have no wine. In other words, what they expected from him was to give them wine to drink. Then Jesus said, my hour is not yet come. So he's moving from where they are naturally, talking about natural wine. He was thinking of something spiritual. So in the teaching style of Jesus, he always took from natural and pulled them to the supernatural. Don't forget, the ministry of Jesus is a supernatural ministry. So in the resurrection, the wine is his spirit. The wine in the resurrection is his spirit. It's not some red liquid in a cup. Wine in the resurrection refers to the spirit of Christ. So the style of Jesus' teaching was that he took from the natural to the spiritual. So he led them from natural to teach them spiritual truth. From natural, he taught them spiritual truth. So while they were speaking of natural wine, that is that red liquid in a glass, Jesus was having in mind the spiritual. Jesus was having in mind the spiritual. Now look at John chapter 7, 37 to 39. John chapter 7, 37 to 39.
John chapter 7 from verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Go ahead and read, brother, to 39.
38. Okay. 39. But this spake he of the spirits, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
This spake ye of the Spirit, which those who believe on him shall receive, because at that time that Jesus made that statement, Jesus was not yet glorified. So, what was Jesus having in mind when he said to the mother, my time had not yet come? He was having in mind his glorification. What was in his mind was glorification. But what was in their mind was red liquid in a glass. He said that the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we say that that wine, or that statement, my time has not yet come, that time, that hour Jesus was talking about was his glorification. So I'd like you to take note of this, because they're very important. Remember that when they wanted wine, his mother came to him and said, they have no wine. But Jesus answered, woman, my hour is not yet come. So the hour to do what? That will be the question. Hour to do what? My time is not yet come. So what hour? My hour is not yet come. What hour? And the hour to do what? My hour is not yet come. The question will be, hour to do what? Hour to do what? I want you to, you know, just take a minute and think. They are looking for wine. And Jesus said to the mother, my hour is not yet come. Hour to do what? Eh? Hour to do what? Eh? I mean, say, okay, hour to do what? If you know it, lift your hand and say it. You know what to say? Hour to do what? Hour to be glorified. Hour to be glorified. Okay, all right. My hour to be glorified. But were they asking of glorification?
No.
What were they looking for? They were looking for wine. In other words, you are not wrong. But to define that statement very clearly, my hour is not yet come, would be my hour to give you wine is not yet come. My hour to give you wine is not yet come. So because they came to him and said they have no wine, in other words, the mother was telling him, give them wine. And the man said, what have I to do with you, mother? woman. Don't have anything to do with you. My hour is not yet come. Don't ask me for wine now, because the time for me to give wine is not yet come. If you understand that, shout glory. Glory. Wave your hands and shout glory. My hour is not yet come. Remember, in that day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Verse 39. This spake he of the Spirit, which those who believe will receive. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Spirit will only be available when Jesus is glorified. So Jesus took them away from wine, natural, to the Spirit, supernatural. He took them away from wine, natural, to the Spirit, which is spiritual. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Jesus took them away from wine, natural, to the Spirit, which is spiritual. The time had not yet come to give wine. My time has not come to give you wine. I will only give you wine at my glorification. I will only make wine available to you at my glorification. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the hour is the hour to give wine, the hour to be glorified. It is only at my glorification that wine will be available for the people to drink. Hallelujah. So the water, I mean the mother and those who were at the feast saw red wine in a glass. But Jesus visualized the Spirit. Jesus visualized the Spirit in those who would believe in him at his resurrection. The mother and all those who were in the feast, at the feast, they saw red wine. They saw wine in a glass. But Jesus visualized the Spirit in the heart of those who would believe in him. Hallelujah. However, Jesus didn't leave them stranded to satisfy them, because he knew that they were all still very natural. He didn't leave them stranded. So Jesus had to provide them wine. He had to give them wine, pending when the real wine will be made available. Jesus had to give them wine. He said, fill the water pots with water. And they turned the water into wine. And the wine that they drank was better. The one that Jesus gave to them was better than the one that they had before the new wine was given. So, I'd like you to notice what Jesus taught his disciples shortly before he was arrested and crucified. I want you to take note of this. What did Jesus teach his disciples shortly after he was arrested and crucified? Let's look at the book of Matthew 26, from verse 26 to 29. Matthew 26:26-29. Hallelujah. Reader.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Please, I'd like you to take note of that. Verse 29, he says, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. What is that? What is that? I will not henceforth drink of this fruit of the vine. What is that fruit of the vine? Is it not wine? I will not henceforth drink this fruit of the vine with you. I will not. Until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He was simply saying, this wine you are drinking, as I am going to die, to be buried, I will not drink of this natural wine with you anymore until my resurrection, when I will drink it new. Somebody say new. Somebody say new. When I will drink it new with you. When I will drink it new with you. So the wine is available to those who believe the gospel. It's available to those who believe the gospel. So what Jesus was teaching from that miracle of turning water into wine, he was preparing, he was communicating that there will be wine after his resurrection. It is called the Spirit. Don't forget, in that day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. For he that believeth in me, not everybody on the earth, not everyone in the world, he that believeth in me, the scriptures have already said that out of his belly, not out of the belly of the believer, out of the belly of Jesus shall flow rivers of living water. Not out of the belly of the believer. He said, let it flow from your belly. Pray, 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 pray. Let it flow. No, out of the belly of Jesus. Please take note of that. He that believeth on me, take note, as the scriptures have said. So John is quoting the scriptures. The scriptures have said that out of the belly of Christ, out of the belly of Jesus, shall flow rivers of living water. And that living water is available to only those who believe. He that believeth on me, that is talking about Jesus. He that believeth on me, he that believes on Jesus, out of the belly of Jesus shall flow rivers of living water. What is that living water? This speak he of the Spirit, which those who believe shall receive, because as at that time Jesus was not yet glorified. If you understand that perfectly, shout glory. Please, it's important you want to understand this very well. Okay, don't say out of my belly flow rivers. No, not your belly. Not your belly. The scripture didn't say out of your belly. The scripture said out of the belly of Jesus. We even saw it earlier. We saw it earlier in the preaching. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that on the last day, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Is that your spirit? It is Jesus' spirit that will be poured out. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I will pour out my spirit. That is the reference. So it is written as it is written. Please take note of that. As it is written that in the last days. So that is what it is. So that river is not your own. It's not your own. But when it gives, is given to you, that when it becomes your own. But you are not the one that pours out. Sure, you understand? In that particular context. Because sometimes we read, we don't take care of the very small details. You know, Papa has taken time to teach us this one. We don't take care of those small details. And that's why we'll be laboring to say, hey, let the river of living water flow out of your belly. No, not your own belly. As the scriptures have said, out of his belly. Whose belly? The belly of Jesus. The belly of Christ. Rivers of living water will flow. I ask you, do you have that water in your belly right now? Yes. Has it been given to you? Yes. Has that water been given to you? Yes. Has that water been given to you? Yes. If you have received that water, stand to your feet and shout, glory! Yes. If you have that river, in that water in the inside of you, stand to your feet and shout, glory! Yes. This peg he of the Spirit with those who will believe on him will receive, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Had Jesus been glorified? Yes. Has he been given to you? Yes. Have you believed? Yes. Therefore, you have that wine in the inside of you right now. Talking about the Spirit of God. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout, Holy Ghost! Somebody shout, Holy Ghost! Somebody shout, Holy Ghost! Somebody shout, Holy Ghost! Say, I have the Spirit of Christ. Say again, I have the Spirit of Christ. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.